Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Romans, chapter 8. Paul's letter to the Roman church, chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. So then, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. We are a people that like to celebrate our freedoms. We have a special day each year where we have an Independence Day for America. The day when we became free of tyranny. Free from taxation without representation, with liberty to worship as we saw fit. Yet, as Paul Harvey used to often say, self-government must be accompanied with self-discipline. How have we used our freedoms? Are we using it to our greatest potential? Here in this section of Romans chapter 8, the first 11 verses that we'll look at this morning, we're talked to by the Spirit about being set free. Free from what? To what were we in bondage before Christ came into our lives? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Set free. Free from condemnation. I have written out on the marquee, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Imagine what it must be to have a sentence of condemnation placed upon you, to be counted among those who are doomed to suffer eternally. Paul is celebrating, isn't he? Independence from the realm of Satan, from his dominion, from condemnation for all eternity. Turn with me to hymn number 772. 772.
No soul
There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As Paul reminds the Roman brethren of this spiritual fact of the blessing that they have in Christ Jesus, it is a time to rejoice, to be set free from Satan's clutches, no longer under what is only natural, to suffer death because of our sin, because we know from what we've studied that all men sin, and the penalty of sin is death. It requires it. But because of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, through the grace of God, Christ has paid our debt. Look again at what Paul says here in verse 3 of Romans 8 and following. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That penalty of sin had to be paid. Throughout the Old Testament, it was symbolically paid through the sacrifice of animals, through the blood upon the altars that God had the patriarchs and those under the law of Moses to erect, the priests to perform. But now, Paul says, that has been fulfilled through God sending His own Son. In sinful flesh, He came and was a man walking this earth for over 3 decades, like us, tempted in all ways, in all points, the Hebrew writer says in chapter 2, as well as again in chapter 4, and yet without sin, sent in the flesh so that He might become, as John says in 1 John chapter 1, the propitiation for our sins. He died in our place. Quite a sacrifice. How can one rejoice in the death of another when that death sets me free from that obligation myself? Christ dying on my behalf. And as we rejoice in that, Paul is making the point, though, we fall under obligation to God. Shall we continue then in sin that grace may abound, as he started chapter 6? That's not why we've been saved. There's a reason, isn't there, for God's mercy and God's grace. Imagine, if you will, a boy who has been caught by the store manager trying to steal a toy, a G.I. Joe. And as the manager stops the boy and then takes him back to his office and sets him down and begins to talk with him, he sees the sorrow in the boy's eyes, and he decides to become lenient. And he explains to the young man that this is not something that he needs to be doing, that it's wrong to steal from others. How does that little one, if the manager turns him loose just with just a warning or a reprimand, respond to that? The thought is, on the manager's part, that the boy will have learned his lesson and that he will not go into a life of crime. The boy, however, might look at that new freedom, that lack of having to pay a penalty, with the eyes of one who says, well, I got away with it. I'll be a little more careful next time not to get caught. How one responds to forgiveness is important. Paul says we're not supposed to keep on sinning just because God is being merciful, that His grace may abound. No. How can we who died to sin? And so there in chapter 6, he has already explained that whenever we are baptized into Christ, certainly the old man of sin is buried with Christ. He dies in that watery grave. We then are raised to walk a new life in Christ. Yes, free from sin, but commanded then to no longer walk according to the flesh. Verse 4, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. We have to be focused. I'm going to talk about that this afternoon when we discuss the concept of where is our mind set. We have to be focused on godliness now that we are in Christ Jesus. Why would that be such an important concept for the Roman church to understand? Put it into the context of history. What are they about to endure? In less than a decade, they are going to face extreme persecution for their walk in Christ Jesus. Christians are going to be hunted down, fed to lions, burned at the stake alive, tortured to recant that they believe in Christ Jesus. If they have willy-nilly gone back into sin, had such a lack of character and commitment to God that they think that His grace will abound even if they are not obeying His will, they're going to be susceptible. They're going to fall, aren't they? The mindset on the flesh is not in accordance with God. In fact, he says in verse 7, it is hostile to God. We must focus then upon that coming into Christ, which is godly, which pleases Him. We must focus upon that which is in service to Him. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 says this, beginning with verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Live as free men, he says in verse 16, yet without using your freedom as a pretext for evil, but live as servants, New American Standard says, as bond slaves of God. How does that strike you? Set free to do what you want? Not hardly. In fact, if you want to read that again, I think that's the law and order verse for Christians. We are to be subject to ruling powers. You say, wait a minute, you've just said that Rome is going to become antagonistic toward Christians. And they are. And even demand things of them that are contrary to God's will. Where is the line drawn for obedience to the powers that be when they contradict what God requires? But as long as I can obey them without compromising my faith, Christians are obligated to be law and order people, to do what our governors and kings tell us to do out of our love for God. During Paul's time, there was slavery. And there's a term that has been brought into English that we don't often use, but it's called manumission. What is manumission? I think it has relevancy here, because manumission was a practice that was allowed by law for a slave to gain his freedom. Sometimes slaves could gain their own freedom. There were, under Roman law, those slaves who were paid wages. And they would save their wages until they could purchase themselves from their master. In this particular example of manumission that I want to focus upon, it was when a slave had honored his master so, with his compliance and obedience, that the master decided to set him free. And he would go to the temple of the god, or gods, with the price of that slave to place it in the treasury. And as he placed that money that the slave was worth into the treasury of the god that he worshipped, he was purchasing the slave's freedom. In fact, symbolically, turning the slave over to be the property of the god. In effect, what that meant was from that day forward, that slave was free. Manumission, to be bought back. That slave then could do what he wanted to do as a free man. And there are records of slaves who became very productive citizens in society through manumission, liberation, emancipation. Some owners would even dangle that over the head of their slaves as they were still under their thumb in hopes that they would become more compliant. It was an incentive to do what the master wants because perhaps someday I'll be set free in this manner. Think of that in light of what God did for us. We were slaves of sin, condemned in the flesh, within Satan's clutches, deserving of death. That was the price that had to be paid for our sins. And so God, in the flesh, came to earth and paid that price for us, setting us free, but at the same time, placing us under obligation to Him, set free from the law of sin and death. But now, through Christ's sacrifice, under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. What was it Peter said in verse 16? Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for sin, but use it as bond slaves of Christ. We should no longer be servants of sin, but we have become servants of righteousness. It's quite a contrast in lifestyle, isn't it? It's not that we're free of obligation, but we have been set free from an obligation that would have condemned us and now have been allowed to become servants of the Most High God. And in my service to Him, walk in a way that is worthy of Him. Walk in the Spirit, but it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Paul agrees with what Peter has told us here in 1 Peter chapter 2, as he writes to his son in the faith, Titus, in chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for any honest work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all men. As parents, when we have children, we have dreams and aspirations for them. What is it that you wanted your children to become? Certainly you wanted to love them and provide for them, but you desired that they have relationship with you, didn't you? That they come to appreciate what it is that you have done for them. And they become productive within the family, within the community, within the school, so that they might bring you honor. So it is with God. He has redeemed us so that we might become the children we ought to be in Him. As God was there in the garden with Adam and Eve, it was a situation of perfection prior to Satan entering into the picture. And they walked with God in the cool of the evening. There was relationship there. Relationship is built on trust. Relationship is built on sacrifice and service. When we love someone, we are willing to do what's best for them, regardless of what it costs us or how they treat us in return. That is God's nature dwelling within man, His spirit of life. That's why it's so important for us to be those who obey the government, as long as it doesn't conflict with what God has declared. So that there might be peace in the land, so that we might get along with one another. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for any honest work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all men. That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. Have you ever gotten walking papers? They say, oh, now wait a minute. That means you just got fired. Your business gives you your walking papers. You're out of here. That's a dismissal. That's a discharge. Okay. But now let's put that in the context of manumission. The slave getting his walking papers. He's walking away from slavery in order to become a productive citizen. God has given us our walking papers. We are freed from the bondage of sin and death, and yet placed into the service of God Almighty. Paul says to another son in the faith that he is one who must study to show himself approved. In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Why do I need to study God's word? Because it's in God's word that I learn God's will. He says to the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk therein. The reason I was created in the first place was to be godly, to have relationship with Him, to be a good brother and sister in God's family. That's why the church is called the bride of Christ in Ephesians chapter 5. And wives are told to honor their husbands. Yes, it's the law and order aspect of being a Christian, of being one who is God's own. Liberated, certainly. Emancipated, definitely. Freed, getting our walking papers, but our walking papers are so that we might walk with God. We're dismissed from that which was of the flesh, so that we might be children of the Spirit. I'm being prompted to live a life free from Satan's influences as much as possible. Yes, I've been cleansed, sanctified, set apart, made a saint through the blood of Christ, but made so that I might continue in ways that are pure and holy. Maturity is a mark of doing right of one's own free will. Spiritual maturity is a mark of yielding myself to God as an instrument of righteousness, freed from sin, so that I might serve. God's Spirit dwelling within me. Me walking in such a way. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death, but free to do God's will, to walk in Him. Verse 10, now, in closing of Romans chapter 8. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. When Peter preached that first gospel sermon, he said, when they cried out, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Raised to walk a new life because now the Spirit of God dwells within me. That Spirit calls upon me to listen to the words of God and to obey them and to become a child of God. With my walking papers freed from sin, but now walking with Him. Those charges against me dismissed, that condemnation no longer hanging over me like a sentence of death. Freed, yes, to serve. It takes a while for some to understand that it's in service that pleasure comes. That it really is in doing for others that one finds fulfillment. In the light of God and His will, to see it through God's eyes, it truly is love. Agape love, doing what's best for another, regardless of the cost or how you're treated in return. So that I might be like Christ, walking in His ways. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that we should walk therein. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. It's a hard lesson for many to learn. Some never do. Yes, we've been set free. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But we've been set free so that we might become a bondservant of God. One more time, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Have you got your walking papers? Who are you walking with?